Blog Talk Radio.
And all access is all inclusive.
Back at it again. It's the Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. We don't clown around. We get down, getting ready for the big season 17-week marathon right here each and every week on the Fantasy Sports Channel. I am your host, Rick Saratella. We're going to break it down for you like this every Sunday, 8:30 to 10 a.m. on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Stay locked in at the NFL Draft Bible for constant updates. And we got a lot of good things to talk about. And to do that, we're going to welcome in our stars of the show. First off, we got Rostradamus Ross Mandel. Are you ready for the season, big boy?
Oh, there's a chill in the air, and like Matt Leinart and Darrell Revis, I'm ready to watch some games.
And of course, fresh out of church, we got the good Reverend always popping his collar. What's going on, Ralph Mancini?
Hey, it's Labor Day in the big city. Good morning, guys.
All right, we're going to do it. It's that Labor Day weekend. That means it's football season, and we're going to keep off around the league. And a lot of you guys, I know we have a draft later on tonight. Some of you guys in late drafts the last Sunday before the league. But we're going to go around the league. We're going to discuss some hot topics. We're going to give you some last-second deepers. And we're going to get into some player value, whether they are worth it or not. And at the end of the show, we're going to have a little fun with Vegas odds. We're going to talk about some over and unders. But let's get into what our fantasy football listeners want to know about, and that's deep sleepers, you know. We play in a league with 18, 20 teams. You know, you get, 15-man rosters. That's a lot of players. And when you get to the nitty-gritty, you know, really where you earn your money is in those mid to later rounds. And in order to do that, you really got to know who the deep sleepers are going into your fantasy football draft. And, you know, we've done a couple drafts and we noticed some trends. So we're going to talk about some deep sleepers. Let's start it off with the good Reverend Ralph Mancini.
Yeah, well, I mean, looking around here at the NFL landscape, a couple of guys that jump out to me are the running backs from the Cleveland Browns. That's James Davis and Peyton Hillis. Now, James Davis, I think, you know, I always liked him. I think he's got a good opportunity down the road to get a lot of carries in that offense. He's a quick, elusive guy, runs through tackles. Unfortunately, he was injured last year. He was on his way to having a big role on that Cleveland team before he got hurt. Peyton Hillis is another guy on that same team that, you know, could give you maybe some cheap touchdowns, and he's a very good pass catcher as well. Chris Ivory from the New Orleans Saints is another guy that is very interesting, an undrafted rookie. We saw him a couple of weeks ago take a little screen pass and run through about seven guys on his way to a 70-yard touchdown. Unfortunately, he did get hurt in the last preseason game. He's going to be out for 3 weeks, but here's a guy that, once he gets healthy, might score you about 5 or 6 touchdowns during the season, so he could come in handy. Max Hall is another guy that just, you know, came out of nowhere. I mean, this is a guy that we watched with BYU. Everybody thought he was going to be more of a backup or a second quarterback, but in the preseason, he was by far the best quarterback on that Arizona Cardinals roster, and it looks like that at some point he may start. He's a smart guy. You know, John Skelton is more of your dynasty guy from Fordham University, but this guy, Max Hall, I think this season, you know, considering, you know, Arizona's shaky quarterback situation with Mr. Derek Anderson there, I think Max Hall can get a couple of starts.
Yes, I want to stop you right there, Rev, because, you know, how short of a leash is Derek Anderson really going to be on? Because, you know, like Ken Wesenhant said, this kid's been the most impressive quarterback in camp. And, you know, we already saw they showed line at the exit door. Now, Derek Anderson probably will go into the season as the starter. But if this team starts off 0-2, 1-3, I mean, how short is the leash going to be there in Arizona, do you think?
I think Wesenhunt is going to stick with Anderson for about a month. And then if they are 1-3 or 0-4, you know, they have big expectations in Arizona. I think at that point, you know, Wesenhunt is probably going to go with the rookie. So, and, you know, on top of that, with Arizona, they expect to be more of a running team. So they're not going to expect Hall to come in there and beat Kurt Warner. He doesn't have to be. He just has to manage the game and not make a lot of big mistakes. And then rounding out my list here, Deion Butler from the Seattle Seahawks, a guy who's looked terrific throughout the preseason. Look, he's not a starter yet, but with Deion Branch there as a starter, you know, he's probably not going to last for the entire season. A very injury-prone guy, and Deion Butler is an explosive, smaller receiver that can make some plays. And then another guy that nobody really anticipated doing much of anything in the preseason was Keelan Williams from the Washington Redskins. But this guy, game in and game out, has been very productive, an agile cutback runner. Lance Moore is another guy that people are overlooking in drafts. That's because he had a lot of injuries last year, didn't play much and wasn't that productive. But if we go back 2 years ago, here's a guy who had over 900 yards and 10 touchdowns. In that offense with Drew Brees at the controls, Lance Moore could reprise that role as being that number one slot guy. So, oh, and finally, of course, the short choice from the Dallas Cowboys. You can get this guy very late in your drafts. And I think you take a look at the Dallas Cowboys right now. Their top two runners are Felix Jones and Marion Barber III. The one thing that I can guarantee, at least one of those guys is going to go down with an injury. They're very, very injury prone. And when Tashard Choice steps in there, I think he has the ability to be that the best runner that Dallas has right now, talent-wise. So there's another guy to keep an eye on.
Hey, when Rev guarantees that you could take it to the bank, and both Lance Moore and Tashard Choice owned by less than 10% of fantasy football owners in Yahoo leagues, we're actually going to talk about some of those percentages and who is owned and who is not and where you can find some value in late bargain. We're going to discuss some of those Yahoo percentage owner rankings. Keelan Williams, like you mentioned, beating out Ryan Terrain and Willie Parker there in Washington. Deion Butler, the Penn State kid, love him. I think he actually has more fantasy value than Golden Tate. And then Maxwell, we discussed. I think he's going to be starting sooner rather than later in Arizona. Chris Ivory, I mean, if you watch these preseason games on the NFL Network, this kid is lighting it up. Now, Rev, I'm going to take you to task on the James Davis because I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid there. I've been waiting about three seasons for this kid to show me something. And before Montario Hardesty, who we'll talk about in a second here, got injured, this kid's roster spot was on the line. And I love Peyton Hillis. So if I had to go one over the other, Peyton Hillis would be my guy, not James Davis. Your thoughts, Ross?
Yeah, I like them both, but I'm kind of with you on this one, Rick. I like Hillis a little bit better. I also like the Ivory pick, and I really like the Max Hall pick. And, you know, they got a bye. The Cardinals have a bye week six, and to me that's going to be a perfect time for a quarterback change. And my question, you know, I'm sure Anderson is experienced and everything, but if Wisenhunt's gonna shout from the rafters that Hall was the best quarterback, then why isn't he playing? You know, I mean, it's not like Derek Anderson. It's some stud who's going to lead them to a Super Bowl unless he gets hurt.
I think inside the locker room, you know, I think to keep his veterans there, you know, this team was a very competitive team for the last few seasons. I think maybe, you know, you may lose some of those veteran guys in the locker room if you start off with the rookie. This is not a rebuilding team, or, you know, they're not thinking they're rebuilding.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think you give Derek Anderson a shot, you give him the first crack, and if he goes 1-3, then, you know, in comes Maxwell.
I understand that, but, you know, what's the locker room thinking when the coach says, well, the best quarterback that we've had is not going to play? This guy who throws as many interceptions as touchdowns in his spotted career is the one going to start. I don't know. You could have said something else other than he was the best quarterback. You could have said he's showing signs. He could have said something else.
Yeah, well, I think also maybe he's trying to motivate Derek Anderson, and he's letting him know, hey, you know, if you don't perform in about three or four games, you're going to be losing your job. And on top of that, with Max Hall, yeah, he had some great games in the preseason, but let's not forget he did that against second and third stringers, you know, so to expect them to come in there in the regular season and to light things up from the get-go, I don't know if that's realistic. So that's another reason why I think he's going to go with Derek Anderson. He is the veteran. He is more experienced. He has started games in the NFL, and he has had some success, like him or hate him. So I think, you know, you give the veteran the chance to start off things with, and then if things don't work out, then you go to Hall.
Yeah, I get it. All right.
All right, let's talk about some of your deep sleepers there, Ross Stradamus, because I know you got some running backs here that are, might jump out at some folks.
Yeah, I always like to look at running backs because running backs always get injured, you know, and guys pop up off who are off the radar and end up having pretty productive fantasy seasons. Guy I like the most is a little guy out of Hofstra, Kareem Huggins, down in Tampa Bay. I mean, are you kidding me? They're all counting on Cadillac to take off the dust cover and run for 16 games. Not going to happen. And I think even if Cadillac Williams is healthy, Huggins is going to end up getting more carries than him. Another guy I like and another guy liked by his coach very much is Anthony Dixon in San Francisco. And Mike Singletary just can't stop talking about this kid. And I think he is the second line for carries there. I'm not a big Westbrook believer as far as that goes. And, you know, Gore gets tons of carries, but I think Singletary's going to find a way to work this kid into the game, and you never know. You never know what's going to happen. I think he could be – he's definitely a handcuff if you have Gore. You have to have him, not Westbrook. Another guy, you know, I've seen Maurice Jones-Drew going third and as high as second in drafts. I got to tell you, I'm a little concerned about him, guys. I don't think he's 100%. I don't think he's going to be 100% for a while, and that's why I like Rashad Jennings in Jacksonville. I'm not blowing this off like Maurice Jones-Drew and the Jaguars want us all to. I don't think he's up to 100%. I know we haven't seen anything. He didn't play in the last game, but I'm a little wary of that Maurice Jones-Drew injury. I think if I had him on my team, I would definitely grab Jennings. And then there's a couple of receivers that I like. Big Lavelle Hawkins backer, especially with the head case that is turning out to be Kenny Britt down in Tennessee. I think Coach Fisher's going to sit Britt down, put him down on the depth chart, and I think if Hawkins comes in and turns it on, I think Kenny Britt's going to get his head straightened on pretty quickly because he's going to see he's not going to get any playing time down there. I don't like what I'm seeing out of Britt, and I don't think Coach Fisher does either, guys. I don't know if you've heard anything other than I have about this, but he's in the doghouse right now, is he not?
Yeah, it seems like Fisher's sending out some warning signals that Kenny Britt could actually be one of those inactives to start the season. You know, the kid's work ethic just hasn't been there, and that's surprising. I mean, considering the lack of depth at wide receiver on that Tennessee Titans team, really the only legitimate deep threat I think that Vince Young has to go to. But, you know, Jeff Fisher's trying to send a message here.
Yeah, when I hear him say that he might deactivate Britt, and then, you know, a few days later he says the light's gone on for Lavelle Hawkins. To me, you know, that's a guy you want to pay attention to. And then, you know, you want to take a stab with a couple of these Ram second and third receivers. You might want to take a shot at Brandon Gibson. I know he's not a world beater, but Sam Bradford's going to be throwing the ball, and he's got to throw it to somebody. So if you want to take a flyer, I would take it on Brandon Gibson in the dome.
Fantasy Football Insiders Radio each and every week, Sunday mornings, 8:30 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. We'll be on the Fantasy Sports Channel starting next week for the 17-week grind. We're going to go over to the phone line, 609. You're on the phone with Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. What's your name? What's on your mind?
Hey, guys, it's Jersey in the house here. Got a couple questions for the first week, knowing we start Thursday. Quick question. In my standard league, I have Jackson. I have, for running backs, I have Steven Jackson. I have Foster. And I also have Ryan Matthews, you start too. I dropped Hardesty last night, and I picked up Donald Brown. Should I have picked up somebody different? Should I have gotten Kareem Huggins, or should I heard you talking about that, or should I have gotten like a McGahee who produced last year as my fourth running back to use maybe down the road if I need to, since I have three starters? That's my first question. And then out of those three that I said, or four, which two do I start this week too?
Okay, well, let's start off with the free agent pickup. I love Donald Brown. I think he went in the right direction there. Joseph Addai, you know, suffered that concussion. I'm not really sure what his status is going to be week one, but I do look for the Colts to run the ball more this year, and I do think Donald Brown is going to be involved big time week one. Now, over the course of the long haul, I really think Kareem Huggins offers more value at this point in time over the course of the season because I think he will be your starting running back in Tampa Bay. But I think it'll take a couple weeks until Cadillac gets injured there. I think he played in all 16 games last season, which is not going to happen this season. So I like Huggins. If you can find a way to finagle him onto your roster, I'll toss it over to Ross to give his thoughts, Donald Brown or Kareem Huggins.
Yeah, do you have two kickers?
Yeah, but the problem is you must carry four running backs, and you can't carry any more than that. The league gives you a certain amount of people that you can play and a certain amount you can carry. It's a typical standard league that lets you. You can only start two. You can only have four on your
All right. I think I'm going to have to echo Rick's sentiments. I think right now you made the right call, but I'd be surprised if someone didn't snatch up Huggins pretty quickly. But I think toward the end of the season, and I'm not even counting Adai's health issues, I think toward the end of the season, Donald Brown's going to really get fed the ball a lot in Indy. And I don't know if that matters to you, if you can hang on that long, but I think Brown is probably the better overall pick, although honestly I'd rather have both of them if there's some way to do it.
Yeah. Well, you're looking at Steven Jackson, Arian Foster, and who was your other running back?
Ryan Matthews, I think.
Ryan Matthews. I have to pick two of them. Standard league.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, let's take it there, because if you're not going to start Donald Brown this week,
right,
then maybe you do go Kareem Huggins over the long haul. What's your take there, Rev? Who should he go with?
I would go with Donald Brown because, look, for this spot over here, you know, that you're trying to decide who to fill in the spot with Huggins or Brown, these are not players you're going to start each and every week.
Mm-hmm.
So in my opinion, I'm going to go with the guy who is more talented and the guy with the better team on the team that scores more points and playing with the better quarterback. I think Donald Brown has more upside than Kareem Huggins.
Yeah, I mean, I love Donald Brown myself, but, you know, he's not going to start there week one. Kareem Huggins is getting a lot of steam going into the season. With that being said, I actually checked it out this morning. I think he's only owned by, like, 9% of fantasy football owners in Yahoo leagues, which I found unbelievable. So, you know, this is a really tough situation because you can only hold four running backs. For my money, week one, I don't have the schedules in front of me, but I do know that the Chargers only kept two running backs on the roster, which tells me it's going to be a lot of Ryan Matthews. I would go Ryan Matthews and Arian Foster here, despite the stud status of Steven Jackson in week one. I just think teams are going to really key in on the run, and I have Steven Jackson on one of my teams, and I'm feeling a little bit shaky there starting him, especially when you have Arian Foster, who I think is going to rumble in week one, and I love Ryan Matthews. Your thoughts, Ross? Who's the two guys you're starting for your money?
If you drafted Steven Jackson in the top 10, you have to play him in week one, especially considering the fact that he's home. And I think Ryan Matthews would be my number one back off in that list. I'm not that convinced about Foster, A, being able to handle the job every week, and of course this is week one, so you got to give him a shot. But, you know, the Colts, they're passing pretty solid. I think that the Texans are going to be doing an awful lot of passing. He may gain, you know, some passing yards and receiving yards. You got three good backs there, but I definitely would go with Jackson and Matthews.
Okay.
Matthews going to kill the Chiefs.
Oh, that'd be good. And my other one is also my standard league. I picked up this, Brian. What happened is I have Brandon Marshall, I have Bernard Berrien, and I also have Malcolm Floyd. And the situation here was I also have Sidney Rice. I put him on IR, and I could have picked up either Mike Williams from Seattle or Mike Williams from Tampa Bay or Dez Bryant. I picked up Dez Bryant. Was that the right decision there in a standard league? It's you know, it's no point for reception. It's just 6 points for a touchdown and 1 point for every 10 yards.
Rev, I'll let you have at that one.
Yeah, I would go with Mike Williams from Tampa Bay because you know he's going to be the number one receiver out there. They really have nothing else in Tampa Bay. He is going to be the go-to guy. I mean, Sammy Strader is a nice player, but he's more of a slot receiver in my opinion. And with Dez Bryant, look, I mean, down the road, he's probably going to be the best receiver out of this bunch, but he is coming off an injury, and there are a lot of other mouths to feed down in Big D. So right now you go with the smart money, and the smart money says you go with Mike Williams from Tampa Bay. I think, you know, by the time the season's over, you know, he can come close to 1,000 yards and probably score about 6 or 7 touchdowns.
Yeah, I would have to think the whole Dez Bryant experiment is going to take some time. I do think he will be a fantasy football factor maybe, you know, as the season gets flowing. But he did miss the entire preseason, which is always concerning with a rookie, especially when it comes to learning the playbook, and you got to get your reps in. So I think, you know, Dez Bryant probably is the number three receiver starting the season. If you're looking for week one upside, yeah, I like Mike Williams over Dez Bryant at this point in time. You know, another guy you might want to consider is Victor Cruz here in New York with the Giants. I think this kid is going to make a lot of noise. And even though Mike Williams is the number one over in Tampa Bay, I'm not so sure Aurelius Ben isn't the better wide receiver. I know Mike Williams is getting all the hype there. A couple other guys to keep in mind, just looking at it, Jabbar Gaffney somehow is only owned in 36% of leagues. I thought that kind of remarkable. Nate Burleson, 23%. So a couple other guys I'll throw out there. What's your take, Ross?
Yeah, I think that the Dez Bryant thing this year is going to be completely overblown. I don't think he's going to produce much of anything this season. I think down the road, like the ref said, he is going to be a stud, but it's tough when you miss all training camp, you don't get any reps, and you're on a team with a ton of talent. You know, Mike Williams is the total opposite. You know, he's been healthy. He's the leading man there. It's all about opportunity, and I think he's the one that's going to have the most opportunity. Had Bryant played all preseason, and if he was totally healthy right now, I might be singing a different tune, but he's not, and he didn't, so I'm not. I definitely think that Tampa Bay Mike Williams is the one to pick out of those three, and I love Jabbar Gaffney this year.
Yeah, Gaffney's actually too.
Oh, I would snatch up Gaffney in a heartbeat.
He's the guy to get.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I thought Eddie Royal being the number one guy
at
Denver.
No.
Really?
No, Eddie Royal, you know what? I hear a lot of mixed reports on Eddie Royal. I can tell you this. You know, him and Josh McDaniels didn't get along too well last season. Jabbar Gaffney, I believe, led the team in receiving, and he is their clear-cut number one. They cut ties with Brandon Stokley yesterday. They got Demaryius Thomas with that foot injury. I don't see him making much of an impact. And you got to remember here, Kyle Orton is going to go with his veterans. He's going to go to his go-to guy. His go-to guy is going to be Jabbar Gaffney. You snatch him up right now, and I guarantee you he's going to pay dividends at some point in the season. I love Jabbar Gaffney.
Yeah, I mean,
I watched Jabbar Gaffney a couple of weeks ago in the preseason, and he was making some incredible catches with guys draped all over him. So I think Jabbar Gaffney is going to be the most productive out of all those receivers that you mentioned.
Yep.
Okay, I'll definitely snag him. Yeah, because it was between them, I wasn't sure. And I heard Mike Williams was a stud, I heard, from Seattle, because he was real good in college. He's supposed to be a beast this year, some people told me, but I haven't seen those games. But I don't know about Seattle that much, so that's why when I needed to pick up somebody when Sidney Rice was on IR, I'm trying to figure, I saw Gaffney out there, but I don't know much about him. They hear Dez Bryant. Again, the Cowboys are just like the Indianapolis. They got so many people mouths to feed, like you said. I've been reading about this Williams kid being a stud down there in Tampa Bay. He was from Syracuse. He dropped out of school or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But he's supposed to be doing what he's doing. And, again, like I said, it's all about opportunities. And with my receivers, they're not bad, but I just wanted somebody that I could fill in if need be, or stack for week 14, 15, 16 if need be, that happen to be in the finals and use, you know. So, all right, I'll grab Gaffney. And my last question, in my PPR league, I'm sorry, normally I never ask this much, but it happens to be, I want to make sure I did the right thing. In my PPR league, I get 10-point rush and touchdown. I got Mendenhall, I got Pierre Thomas, I have Hightower, and I also have Arian Foster. I need to start two of them. Who do you recommend? In my PPR, 10-point rushing touchdown, a point for every 10 yards. Foster and Mendenhall. That's what I was thinking, too. I actually didn't go with Pierre Thomas myself. He scares me against Minnesota, you know what I mean?
Well, not only that, I think I'm always worried when Reggie Bush is healthy, I'm always worried they're going to give it to him over the top or on the outside, swing pass. I don't know. I think Reggie Bush is always going to be that goal line guy that could potentially get touchdowns down there. So I'm going to agree with Ross on this one.
Okay. So you like that there. And last thing, in that PPR league, I'm starting Randy Moss. I have Bolden, and I also have Malcolm Floyd. So between Bolden and Floyd, I need to pick one. I have Flacco as my quarterback, but I also have the Jets defense. Malcolm Floyd going against Kansas City versus Bolden going against the Jets. Between Bolden and Malcolm Floyd in a PPR league, which one would you start as your second? Because I can only start one of them because I've already started Randy Moss.
Well, you know, it doesn't look like Revis is going to be in the fold, so I really wouldn't worry too much about going up against the Jets. He's either going to be faced up against Cromartie, who now has a hip issue that the Jets are trying to keep under wraps, but, you know, Cromartie has a hip that's bothering him, and the other kid is a rookie, so, you know, Bolden's going to have a field day, in my opinion, and if you got Joe Flacco, I just love hitting my opponents with that double trouble, getting those double points when you get that Flacco to Anquan Bolden connection going on. I love Bolden a lot.
Yeah, I agree. I think Bolden, he's definitely the number one guy there, whereas with Floyd, you know, Antonio Gates is still the number one target in San Diego, so just look at it that way. You go with the number one guy over the number two or number three guy.
Okay. Yeah, guys, I really appreciate your help because, again, I apologize. I got up early to talk to you guys because I had so many issues with both my teams. I'm usually in the finals every year. And, again, it was the Donald Brown thing that took up some time and the other receiver on what to do there, so I wasn't sure. Again, you try to be proactive, and how I got to the finals last year was grabbing guys like Miles Austin and Michael Sims-Walker when they were on the waiver wire last year and stuff. So being one step ahead of my guys in my legs worked out, and you guys have been a great help last year and this year. And, again, that's why I wanted to ask these questions. Normally when I speak to you guys on Sunday mornings to start my team, I wouldn't be asking a lot of other questions to start stuff, and I wasn't sure who to pick up receiver-wise because you never know. And, again, I would have never thought Gaffney. He's there, but you hear so much hype about so you say I picked up Dez Bryant, drop Dez Bryant, and get Gaffney over Michael Williams from Tampa Bay is what you guys are saying?
I would say so, yes.
Okay. All right, I'll definitely do that. Guys, I appreciate it very much for your time. You have a safe and enjoyable Labor Day. Best of luck to you guys in your leagues. And thank you for your voice, and thank you for taking extra time today with me with those
guys. Hey, Jersey, we love having you on, man. We're gonna make you a regular over here. And you mentioned Miles Austin. Victor Cruz, man, I'm telling you, this year is Miles Austin. Mark it down.
Who's he with? Who's Victor? He's with the Jets?
He's with the G-Man. Patterson kid, you should know that, baby.
Victor Cruz, is he with the Giants?
Yeah, he's with the Giants. Kid from Patterson, okay. He's played ball up in UMass. He's been lighting it up this preseason, and mark that name down. You know, I know you're limited in that league with your receivers, but maybe in another league you could stash him on your bench, and he just might bust out big time.
Hey, do you think you should keep, because in that PPR league, I do have, like I said, the guys I told you. I have Moss, I have Bolden, I have Floyd, but I also have Vincent Jackson. Now, Vincent Jackson, I got in the 16th round. My last pick, I took Vincent Jackson because in that PPR league, you're only allowed to start two receivers anyhow. And it's kind of like the last guy could have been a tight end, a quarterback, a running back, a receiver, kind of like an IR guy, you know what I mean, that you can use, you can get rid of and pick up where you need to. Is it worth it to hold on to V-Jax? No, you definitely know he's going to be at least 6 weeks based on the receivers that I have. Or do I drop him and try to grab somebody else that I have? Randy Moss, I have. Bolden.
I'm going to cut you off right there because I see absolutely zero value in Vincent Jackson this season. I'll tell you one thing about these veteran holdouts when they get lengthy like this and you start to approach the season. When they do sign, if he does sign or he gets traded, whatever the case may be, he's going to come back and play, and you know what he's going to do? He's going to pull a hammy. You know, when you're not in playing competitive football, taking these preseason reps, and then all of a sudden, he's doing his own training regimen. Well, his own training regimen ain't what the NFL team is doing. And I'll tell you what, you get signed or you get traded, you come into a new situation, whatever the case may be, and now all of a sudden he's trying to go full speed. I guarantee you, one, he's not going to be sharp. Two, he's going to probably pull up lame with a hamstring or some kind of injury. For my money, you know, I see more upside in a guy like Victor Cruz, a guy like Nate Burleson, who's number two in Detroit and is going to see a lot of balls thrown his way. I'd rather have a guy like DeBar Gaffney. To me, Vincent Jackson's just going to take up space on your roster. I think now is the time to pounce on some of these players that we're talking about. That's just my opinion there.
All right, I'll definitely do that. And you said in that standard league that I'm playing Brandon Marshall, you said between Bernard Berrien and Malcolm Floyd this week to start. I need one of those two. Do you like Floyd going against Kansas City, or do you like Bernard Berrien going against New Orleans in New Orleans?
Well, they're both under the lights there. I think Minnesota's Thursday night and San Diego's Monday night. I'm sorry, but You know, for my money, I think Bernard Berrien looks like the go-to guy in Minnesota, and I think Favre is going to be slinging it around. What's your take there, Reverend? You like Bernard Berrien or Malcolm Floyd this week?
You know, I'm not too crazy from what I saw to Bernard Berrien so far in the preseason, but you have to think that he is the number one guy there in Minnesota right now. They did get rid of Javon Walker, so... Yeah, I'm going to go with Bernard Berrien. And look, Minnesota's going to have to throw the ball to beat New Orleans. It's going to be a high-scoring game, so I think I'm going to go with Berrien there.
All right, I'll definitely do that. Like I said, guys, I appreciate your advice, man. I really do because, again, when you get a couple of extra heads trying to figure things out and see where I'm at and where you guys are at, it makes it easier. And once this first week is done, hopefully it gets a little easier and just maybe picking a couple guys, tweaking them. Once you see what they're doing after maybe 4 or 5 weeks, who's consistent, who's not, then you kind of know to a degree. But like anything else, it is a crapshoot. And when you grab guys, you know, at a lower number than your guys late, you know, you don't know who to use sometimes. But then sometimes some of your good guys have bad matchups, and then your other guys that maybe aren't as good, but almost, sometimes you got to plug them in. It's all about playing the right people at the right time. Hopefully you pick right. You know what I mean? Hopefully, I'm picking the right person to start.
Hey, Jersey, it ain't easy. It ain't easy, man. I'm running over, running out of room on my mantle over here for the trophies. I ran out of ring polish this season. I got to go pick some more up. So, hey, we'll march together each week right here on Fantasy Football Insiders every Sunday morning. Look forward to having you. And call in any time.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it again. Have a nice weekend. Really appreciate you taking the time. Look forward to talking to you every Sunday morning. And hopefully my mantle will someday be as big as yours with the
summer. Hey, all right, man.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. Yep, that's what it's all about. 347-945-6275 if you want to call in. 347-945-6275. And, you know, we take some time to, spend some time with our listeners. We are getting you ready for your draft. And, we're going to get over to some chat room questions, address those situations. Let me do a quick reset. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, 8:30 to 10 every Sunday, each and every week on the Fantasy Sports Channel. We expect the chat room to be pumping starting next week like it always is when we start our Fantasy Sports Channel run. So, let's get into Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini here taking your questions. Let's get into the chat room questions. We got quarterback situation, and that's not a Jersey Shore situation. This is Eli Manning versus Carolina or Kevin Cobb versus the Green Bay Packers in week one of the NFL season, Rev. Who are you taking there?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Eli Manning here. You know, look, long term, I probably like Kevin Cobb a little bit better. But I don't like what I've seen out of that Philadelphia offensive line so far in the preseason. And they're already making some changes there at the guard position. So I'm going to go with Eli Manning. I think he's a safer way to go. And he's got more experience. He's got good receivers to throw to. And he's going against a much worse team in Carolina. So I want to go with Eli Manning here.
All right, Russ, he's also got Alex Smith and Kyle Orton on the waiver wire. I do like Orton versus Jacksonville, but I think week one you got to stick with your studs. And who's you taking for your money, Eli or Kevin Cobb to start the season?
Yeah, I think Cobb and the Eagles' offense as a whole is going to struggle a bit out of the gate. And I like the matchup Eli against Carolina, so definitely Eli Manning.
All right, there you go. Oh, I'm going to take Eli Manning as well. I want to wait and see with Kevin Cobb. I do like his potential. I do like his upside. I do like what he's going to bring to the table and think he could be a big-time fantasy football factor. But I'm not going to gamble and roll the dice to start the season. I'm going to take the safer, sure thing, and that's Eli Manning of the Giants. See what else we can get going on. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about this Thursday night matchup, guys. Since people are getting, it's 4 days away. We got the Vikings and the Saints, rematch of the NFC Championship. You know, next time we're on the air will be next Sunday. We'll be talking about the recap. But let's preview it a little bit. Rev, I'll start with you. What's your, concerns or things we should look for heading into this opening kickoff of the NFL season?
Yeah, I have some concerns both for the Minnesota Vikings and the New Orleans Saints, but I think
I think I'd be more worried about the Vikings here. Number one, Brett Favre. He's got that ankle issue. Is he 100% healthy? And from what I'm seeing, I think that coaching staff is terrified at the fact that, you know, he might get seriously hurt. And the thing with Brett Favre is, even if he's limping around, he's going to stay out there. But injured Brett Favre means a lot of interceptions. So that's something that you need to keep an eye on. And then what about his wide receivers? You know, there's some question marks out there. They did get rid of Javon Walker, but you have Bernard Berrien out there who hasn't been lighting it up in the preseason. Percy Harvin, who's a migraine waiting to happen. And then you have Greg Camarillo, who was okay with the Miami Dolphins, but is he a guy that's going to take you to the promised land? Is he a guy that can, you know, come close to giving you what Sidney Rice gave you? Probably not. And then Greg Lewis is just a backup. And then what about the cornerback position? They have a rookie cornerback, Chris Cook, playing back there in place of Cedric Griffin, who's probably not going to get...
Even Cook's hurt, man.
Yeah, Cook's got hurt now. Yeah.
Oh, Cook got hurt. Okay, so there you have it. So now you have Cedric Griffin out and Cook out against, you know, one of the most potent passing games out there in New Orleans. And to me, that's a big concern as well. And then with the Saints, the one thing that has me a little bit worried with the Saints is Baron Sharper is going to be out for the first 6 weeks. He suffered a foot injury in the last preseason game. But I think overall, I think the Saints are in much better shape, and I like the Saints to win this game probably by about 5 or 6 points.
Yeah, I think it'll be a close one. And let's spend a second on the wide receivers on the New Orleans side, Ross, since, you know, the Vikings secondary is banged up. You know, obviously everyone knows Colston's the go-to guy there, but for your money, I mean, who are you looking at? I know, you know, you kind of like Lance Moore. Robert Meacham had a pretty big season last year. Jeremy Shockey's still in the mix. I mean, who are you looking at? Who are you targeting? You know, if you had to pick a clear-cut number two guy in New Orleans, is there one?
Well, I mean, I'm a little concerned about Meacham's foot. You know, he's been suffering from turf toe, and that's never easy. Plus, you know, you mentioned there's Colston, there's Shockey, but I think you got to keep your eye on Devery Henderson there. He's the number two guy. And with Meacham a little dinged up, I think that's a clear number two. And I think they're going to have a field day. I don't see this game being close at all, guys. I think New Orleans is going to roll over those awful, awful defensive backs that they're going to roll out in Minnesota. I think the Vikings' run defense is fine, but, you know, they always manage to give Drew Brees time to throw the ball, and opening night, Super Bowl champs, I think Minnesota's walking into a death trap.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, if Chris Cook does miss this game, which it looks like he is going to, Lito Shepard is next in line, and if you're a New York Jets fan, you know all about Lito Shepard and all his penalties. So, that's a big advantage for the New Orleans Saints there.
They're going to be rolling out guys like Asher Allen and Lito Shepard to stop New Orleans. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, that could get ugly right there. Rev, I know you're up for the Saints over the Vikings. You got a prediction there, Ross?
Yeah, I'm going to say 34-16, New Orleans.
Wow. Okay. Well, I think New Orleans is probably going to eke this one out, but I think it's going to be a shootout because I do think the Saints will dictate this game. The Vikings will be playing from behind, and, you know, Favre will probably have 3 or 4 touchdowns and maybe 2 or 3 picks. And just for my money, you know, in 20 seasons in the NFL, Brett Favre has averaged 17 interceptions. I think last season was his only season in his career where he had single-digit interceptions. Do not count on that to happen again. So I'm going to go Saints. That's a unanimous Saints, so probably the Vikings will win. What do we know? Week 1 of the NFL right around the corner. We'll be here each and every week, 8:30 to 10 a.m. Starting next week, we're on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Rick Serratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini here with you. We're going to talk about some notable player cuts. Yesterday, the NFL cut down from 75 to 53 players. We're going to talk about some notables there. We got some hot topics we'll discuss. But I want to talk a little bit about these Yahoo percentages and how it works. I think it's, you know, based on, you know, all the leagues in the Yahoo database and which players are owned, whether it's a 10, 12, 18, 20-team league. and the percentage of the players that are owned in fantasy football leagues, and I just want to talk about some of the notables there and get your guys' opinion on whether there is value, whether a guy is underrated, overrated, whatever the case may be. Let's start off with a quarterback trifecta, guys. Alex Smith is owned in 65% of the leagues, Chad Henne in 62% of the leagues, and Kyle Orton in only 54% of fantasy football leagues. Ross, I'll start it off with you. Any value there with those three?
I think you have good value with Chad Henne. I think he should be the number one guy on that list. I think he's going to have a very good season. I think the other two guys can be decent bye week fill-ins, injury fill-ins, but I think Henne, I grade a little bit above that. I think he's a spot starter, and I would definitely have him number one on that list.
Yeah, now the only thing there is, you know, I heard a report, I believe it was from Omar Kelly, our good friend there in the Sun Sentinel. They're saying Chad Henne is on a short leash this year. The Dolphins coaching staff didn't see what they wanted to see out of him during the preseason, and that, you know, the team actually wants to start Chad Pennington, but they know he can't get through the entire season. So that's just something to keep an eye on. I actually like Chad Henne. I like his upside. I like what he brings to the table. Maybe that explains why some fantasy football owners are hesitant. But, you know, don't be surprised if the Dolphins get out of the gate slow or halfway through the season, there's a switcheroo, and our good friend Chad Pennington is back in the mix. The next three guys, Ralph, at quarterback, are really low, and, you know, some of these are a little bit surprising. Matt Cassel at 32%, Matt Hasselbeck and Jason Campbell all the way down at 20% owned in fantasy football leagues, which means, you know, most of you guys listening could probably snatch up one of these guys in your fantasy football league for your money, Rev. Cassel, Hasselbeck, or Campbell, which guy sticks out to you there?
Yeah, the one that sticks out to me is Jason Campbell. Now, he does have some injury concerns entering week one, but it's nothing serious. So even worst-case scenario, he misses the first week. I mean, look, you're going to be picking up these guys as your number two quarterbacks anyway, so you're not going to need Jason Campbell for week one. I think that Jason Campbell is the guy that long-term, if you need him for a week or two or for your bye week, I think he can produce some nice numbers for you. Look, he had some great games at Washington last year. He was just in a bad situation with a bad coaching staff and some mediocre players around him. He had the Chris Cooley injury, which affected him last year. I think right now he's got some speedy guys out in Raiderland. He's got a premier tight end in Zach Miller. And, you know, he's mature. He's mature. He's got the height. He's got the arm strength. He's a smart kid. I think that Jason Campbell is probably going to have his best season to date. These other guys, you know, look, we know what we have in Matt Hasselbeck. He's an injury waiting to happen. You saw what he did down the stretch last year, throwing interceptions right and left. He's got the bad back. I wouldn't want to count on Matt Hasselbeck. And he's not a guy you can count on as a number two guy, because if you're probably going to meet him in week 10 or week 9, he's probably not even going to be around by then. So you're probably wasting a pick with Matt Hasselbeck. And Matt Cassel, look, should he be better with Charlie Weiss at the helm, that offensive coordinator? Yeah, probably. But Matt Cassel, he's still got a lot to prove, in my opinion. He still sits in the pocket way too long. He takes way too many sacks. And he's not the greatest when it comes to decision-making. So if I had a pick, I think I'm going to go with Jason Campbell there.
Yeah, if we could just get him some weapons to throw to. I will say, keep an eye on Matt Cassel. You know, I don't think the Chargers are the real deal. I think they're probably not going to make the playoffs. I think the Chiefs might eke into the playoffs with like an 8-8 record and win that AFC West division there. But in order to do that, they're going to need better play from Matt Cassel. And I do think that over the last two seasons, maybe not with their high picks, but some of their middle-round guys, the Chiefs have added a lot of talent on that roster. And I think that, you know, of any team in the league, they improved their coaching staff more than any team in the league, adding Charlie Weiss, adding Romeo Crennel, reuniting him with Todd Haley. I think there's some good chemistry there. But like I said, Cassel is the key. You know, he holds the key to the Cadillac, so we'll see what happens there. We got a situation, not a Jersey Shore situation, Ross, in Kansas City. where Jamaal Charles was much better than Thomas Jones in the preseason. What's your take on that Kansas City running back situation? Does Jones take away from Jamaal Charles' fantasy value, or should you just go with Charles and not look back and think twice about it?
Well, I think the fact that the Chiefs have not, you know, done us any favors and said anything definitive definitely does not help either one of these guys. But, you know, I've seen a lot of the Chiefs because, like you, I'm a little high on them this season. I think they could threaten the Chargers for that division. But they just have made no definitive statement or declaration about, you know, Jamaal Charles is our lead back. I think they don't want to do that until they see that he can hold up for a couple of games. He's been dinged up. Nothing too serious. But when he has carried the ball and when Jones has carried the ball with the first string against first string, there's been no comparison. You know, Charles is almost 5 yards a touch better than Thomas Jones in the preseason. And, you know, Haley can say we're going to see what happens during the game all he wants. But to me, Charles is the guy to have there. And I don't think Jones is going to take away a little bit, but I don't think it's going to be a split backfield at all. I think Charles is definitely going to get the majority, probably, you know, 65-70% of the touches there.
Yeah, some other running backs that fantasy football owners are completely staying away from. Nobody wants to touch Matt Moore or Derek Anderson at 13% only owned in fantasy football leagues. We talked about the Max Hall situation. Carolina, I could see them struggling this year. At some point, they're going to want to get a look-see at Jimmy Clausen. And then you have Tony Pike from Cincinnati beat out Hunter Cantwell for the third-string duties in Carolina. So if Matt Moore struggles, don't be surprised if the Panthers start holding auditions for next season. One guy who surprised me, moving on to the running backs, Rev, Jerome Harrison. This one surprised me a little bit. He's actually owned in 75% of fantasy football leagues. And, I'm not sold on the whole Jerome Harrison, even with the Montario Hardesty injury. What's your take on that one?
Yeah, I'm with you on Jerome Harrison. I mean, look, a lot of people are excited because he had three nice games to end the season in 2009. But what did he do before then? I mean, he wasn't even averaging over 4 yards per carry prior to those last three games. So he's a smaller guy. He hasn't really been dependent on a lot throughout his career. So to me, he's more of a sporadic contributor, a guy that can have a good week every 3 or 4 weeks. I don't see him being that every week consistent guy that's going to carry the load there or put up big numbers. I think that Jerome Harrison is probably a nice flex guy that you wouldn't want to start every week.
Hey, Russ, we talked about Peyton Hillis and James Davis earlier in the show. I mean, how do you see this Cleveland situation unfolding? For my money, I like Peyton Hillis.
Yeah, I think for my money, they're going to go with reliability as far as the second back to Harrison, and I think that means Peyton Hillis. And, you know, he's been getting more carries in the preseason, and I think that, you know, Davis really hasn't gotten on the field to do anything because of that injury last season. And, you know, for all Cleveland's luck, Hillis will probably run into Harrison and they'll both probably get hurt. They can't seem to keep running backs upright in Cleveland, much less anything else. But I think Hillis is the guy to own there. I think, you know, worst case, he's a decent short yardage guy. But he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run the ball. I think he's a good all-around back. And I think that they're going to go with Mr. Reliable, and I think that's what Peyton Hillis is.
Yeah, and I think, you know, he might not rush for 100 yards each week, but between, like you said, his receiving and his rushing, he's going to be good money for over 100 total yards. Peyton Hillis, he just might become a household name in Cleveland. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Another one that was a little bit surprising, Ross, Lawrence Maroney, you know, he's been in the doghouse up there in New England for the last couple seasons. Almost 60%, 57% of fantasy football owners have Lawrence Maroney on their roster. I mean, to me, this guy's a complete waste. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I mean, how many years do we have to go through this, you know, running back by overly large committee in New England before we realize that you don't want to have any of those guys? I mean, look, Maroney isn't good when he's healthy, as far as I'm concerned, and he's had an abdominal strain, an ankle twist, a groin issue. Look, he's been in every practice. He looked all right the last preseason game, but for my money, he's not going to get that many touches to make himself worthy. I think, you know, if you have to take someone on New England, I'd be much more comfortable with Fred Taylor than I would Lawrence Maroney, but I would stay away from that. They got five running backs. They're each going to be in and out of every game, and it's almost as if Belichick just wants to say, I don't need one main running back. Watch me win with five, you know, guys who honestly don't amount to a whole lot.
Yeah, Sammy Morris gets a lot of the short yardage carries. Kevin Falk gets a lot of the catches out of the backfield. I would definitely stay away from that whole New England back situation. Go ahead, Ralph.
Well, Bill Belichick has already declared Fred Taylor as his number one running back going into the season. You know, I think the coaching staff also doesn't like Maroney that much. But, you know, the problem is that Maroney is the only guy out of all those backs that we mentioned that is durable, you know. So this guy doesn't get hurt, and that's probably the best thing about him. But when he is on the field, he bounces everything outside, and he fumbles the ball a lot. Sammy Morris is a much more reliable goal line guy, as is Fred Taylor.
Maroney played three games in 2008 and missed a game last year, so I wouldn't call that durable.
I'm talking about last year, though.
All right.
He was durable last year.
Let's talk about a couple of running backs that, you know, I've been waiting for, and I'm not going to really hold my breath this year waiting because, you know, Donald Brown is in his second season, Darren McFadden, you know, in his third, and both guys taken in the first round, and interestingly enough, fantasy football owners are hesitant, Rev. Darren McFadden owned in 49% of leagues, even with the starter status, Michael Bush probably out for the first few weeks, and Donald Brown even less, 48% in fantasy football leagues. Who do you like more in terms of fantasy football upside, McFadden or Donald Brown?
Well, McFadden is going to get a lot of opportunities during the early part of the season. Michael Bush is out with an injury. He injured one of his fingers, and he's not going to be able to grip the ball properly to play. But I was never a big fan of Darren McFadden. If he is on your roster, you might want to see what he does in week one. And if he does have a productive game, I would deal him right away because, in my opinion, he is not the type of guy that you want to give the ball to for those tough carries, to make those inside yards. He's just not built to be that type of guy. He's a kind of a tall guy. He's thin. He's got thin legs and doesn't generate much power from those legs. And as a result, he doesn't break enough tackles. As a matter of fact, if you watch him play, he shies away from a lot of tackles. And so, in my opinion, in the long term, yeah, he might have a good week one. And if he does, I say get rid of him, but you don't want him on your roster for the balance of the season. I think Donald Brown is the more explosive back. I think he's a stronger back. And obviously, he's on the better team, and he's got more upside. So I'm going to say go with Donald Brown there. And I think you also mentioned Dexter McCluster. Yeah, I like Dexter McCluster just for the fact that in a lot of Yahoo leagues, he's both a running back and wide receiver. So this is the perfect bench guy to use during your bye weeks. And this kid is explosive. They are going to use him probably sporadically. He's not going to be an every-week contributor. But if he has that right matchup, I think this is a guy that can make some big plays for you. So if you are in a performance league that gives you credit for 40- and 50-yard touchdowns, this guy has the wheels to explode for those types of plays.
Well, I think Dexter McCluster is going to surprise a lot of people out there, and I have him on every team that I've drafted so far because I legitimately believe that Dexter McCluster has a strong chance to win the NFL Rookie of the Year. I think he's going to be the Chiefs' biggest weapon. Jamal Charles, Dwayne Bowe included, Dexter McCluster is the real deal. I love this kid. There's a reason why the Chiefs used the second-round pick on him, and he's only owned in 44% of fantasy football leagues, Ross. Like Ralph said, running back, wide receiver in a lot of leagues. You can play him at either position, use him as a flex. I just love everything this kid brings to the table.
Yeah, I agree with you, and that's kind of a major part, not just McCluster, but his effect on the rest of the offense. I think now with Kansas City having such a dynamic playmaker that they can put all over the field, that's going to free up space for the Bowes and the Charleses and even Thomas Jones of the world. I really like Dexter McCluster. But back to Donald Brown. Listen, this guy's not going to get on the field until he learns how to pick up a blitz and protect Peyton Manning. And he didn't do it last year, and he hasn't done it in the preseason. And I don't know if anybody out there or you guys heard this, but they played an audio clip of him missing a block, and as Manning saw he missed the block, he yelled out, "Come on, Donald," and then he yelled at him afterwards. You're not getting on the field if you don't know how to block in that system. Right now, I don't think Donald Brown's going to see a lot of playing time until the middle to the end of the season, and I would go with McFadden. I think give him a shot and see what he can do in the first couple of weeks, and if he ends up breaking down, which, you know what, he might. But I think as far as an early season roster spot goes, I would go with McFadden because Donald Brown just can't seem to get on the field because he can't block.
Well, you know, Ross, first of all, if you had these guys on your roster, you know, most probably you're not going to be starting them each and every week. You're probably not going to be starting them at all probably for the first 4 or 5 weeks. So if I'm looking at my bench and I have to compare Donald Brown with Mr. McFadden, I think I'd much rather have Donald Brown because I think down the road later on in the season, I think Donald Brown's going to be the more valuable guy. Yeah, he does have problems picking up blitzes, but I think that's something that can be fixed. And I think, look, Joseph Addai is not the type of guy that's going to carry the load. So I think down the road, I think Donald Brown's going to be the more valuable guy that you are going to be able to start maybe in week 9 and week 10.
Yeah, I think Donald Brown's early season, you know, success or lack of whatever happens out of the gate is going to dictate what happens later on in the season. You know, what is he going to do when Joseph Addai is hurt? I think Donald Brown is going to get 20 carries in week 1, and I could see him rumbling for a lot of yardage. Now, if he does, I think you could see that phase of you know, shift of turnover there from Joseph Addai to Donald Brown, like we kind of saw Addai's. You know, when Addai came into the league, they kind of shifted gears from Edgerrin James to Joseph Addai. I could see a lot of that happening. When you talk about McFadden, you're talking about the ultimate boom or bust player. Like I said, we've been holding our breath for 3 years. But, you know, then you get all excited. Michael Bush is hurt. Hey, I have Darren McFadden on my team. And then the next preseason game, he comes out, 13 carries for 9 yards. And it's just like, what the heck is going on with Darren McFadden? You know, I don't know. It's a tough question, McFadden or Donald Brown. I think at the end of the day, if I had to choose one, I'd go with Donald Brown. You know, a couple other guys here. Ralph, you mentioned Tashard Choice. Only 13% of fantasy football owners in Yahoo leagues own him. Kareem Huggins, who we've been really hyping up and talking about a lot on this show, somehow, I don't know what's going on here either. Kareem Huggins is only owned in 10% of fantasy football leagues, according to Yahoo. So maybe if you're in a Yahoo league, you should run to the waiver wire, snatch up Kareem Huggins, a little Hofstra pride there. I'm telling you, this kid, if you've seen him in the preseason, he's the real deal. He runs hard. I'd go with Kareem Huggins. He's definitely worth a roster spot. The next guy, Marshawn Lynch, 20% only owned in fantasy football leagues. Ralph, any value there?
It's very minimal. I mean, look, Marshawn Lynch, he's had a chance to get some carries in the preseason. He hasn't done much. And then Fred Jackson is also coming back, probably in week 2, maybe week 3. And so you would have to think that Fred Jackson is probably going to be the number 2 back, and C.J. Spiller is going to be the number 1 back. So that really doesn't leave Marshawn Lynch with a lot of carries there. So I think I view Marshawn Lynch as more of a handcuff, a guy that you keep on your bench just in case. But if you don't have a big roster, then what are you going to do with Marshawn Lynch? So to me, I'd rather have a guy like Tashard Choice. He's on the better team. I think he is the better player. And I think he is definitely going to get some playing time here, especially when you consider the fact that guys like Felix Jones and Marion Barber III are very, very injury prone.
Yeah, and then a couple other guys to round out some running backs here. You know, hey, you know what? I was in a league. It was 19 roster spots, 12 teams, later rounds, maybe one of my last picks. I snatched up Julius Jones. He's only owned by 9% of fantasy football owners in Yahoo. I'm really not sold on Justin Forsett like the good Reverend is. I could easily see Justin Forsett getting injured, Julius Jones stepping in, making some plays. You know, there was one game last season, I believe, where he caught a couple of receiving touchdowns out of the backfield. I think Pete Carroll might find a way to use this guy. I'm not recommending Julius Jones, but if you're in a deep league with 18, 20 teams, you know, Julius Jones, you may want to stash on your bench
and wait for the injuries to occur in Seattle. Leon Washington coming off a major knee injury can't be counted on either for my money. And then, you know, Peyton Hillis, here's a guy only owned in 3% of Yahoo leagues. Unbelievable. Just unreal. For my money, I like Hillis over Jerome Harrison. Here's another guy you can go out and snatch up if you need some running back depth. Peyton Hillis is going to get a lot of total yardage. That's rushing and receiving. And, again, he keeps it between the tackles, which tells me he might be that guy that gets the goal line carries. How many there will be in Cleveland, I'm not so sure. But, you know, Hillis only 3% owned. That's a very low number for somebody who is going to be a fantasy football factor this season. Now, moving on to wide receivers, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio here each and every week, 8:30 to 10 a.m. on the Fantasy Sports Channel starting next week. We're having a little fun getting you ready with some last-second advice here. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. Wide receivers, Ross, I thought this was kind of outrageous. Santana Moss is owned by 94% of fantasy football owners, and when I look at some of these other numbers, like a Bernard Berrien is only 66%. I don't know. I'm scratching my head here with Santana Moss.
I'm actually not that high on Berrien from what I've seen out of him, but I think both those guys should be owned in every league. I mean, they're starting receivers on teams, you know, with decent, if not very good, quarterbacks. I don't understand how they're not owned in every league. But, you know, maybe some of these leagues are eight teams and you only have one receiver. I have no idea. But I'm much more high on Santana Moss than I am on Berrien this season. I think Percy Harvin ends up being by far the number one guy in Minnesota.
Okay. Well, let me ask this one, Ralph. Terrell Owens, 93%. I thought that was a little bit high. Agree or disagree?
No, I disagree. Because, you know, Terrell Owens, I mean, he has looked good in the preseason. He looks healthy. He looks like he could still, you know, put up some nice numbers, at least 900, maybe even 1,000 yards. So, and he's in a good offense. He's with a decent quarterback on a team that's going to score some points. And they're not asking him to be the number one receiver. Chad Ochocinco is the number one guy. And let's not forget the impact of Jermaine Gresham. They have a good running game. No, I could see Terrell Owens having a decent season.
Yeah, 5 touchdowns with Buffalo last year. I guess you could see maybe 8 with Cincinnati this season. We talked about Vincent Jackson earlier in the show. 78% of fantasy football owners have drafted him. Good move or bad move, Ross?
Look, it depends how deep your bench is, but I agree with your sentiments from earlier. I don't think he's going to do anything at all this season. I don't think the Chargers are under any obligation to trade him, and I just don't see a landing spot for him where he's going to just waltz in off the street, not being in football shape, and contribute right away as a wide receiver. I don't see it happening. If you don't have a really deep bench, he's not worth the roster spot, in my opinion.
Yeah, going over to the chat room, Santana Moss, you know, from the last I heard, he was still under consideration for a 1-game suspension, up to 4-game suspension with his whole HGH allegations. I'm not so sure where that stands. You would think an announcement would come down the wire by now from the NFL.
Yeah, it did.
So maybe
Goodell said, like, in the beginning of August that there was going to be no discipline.
Okay, so there you have it. Moss is good to go for the start of the season. And Wes Welker, is he coming back too soon? I think so. I mean, based on his comments, he said he's not 100%. But, you know, he's not the kind of guy that's going to sit out and watch from the sidelines. So he's a gritty player. He's a hard-nosed player. He didn't want to put a percentage on it, but even a 75 to 80% Wes Welker is still good. I think he's going to come close to 100 receptions again regardless, because the guy just knows how to find seams. He knows how to run routes, and he knows how to get open. You know, the Patriots aren't asking him to run deep, long routes. His speed is not really what gets him open. Is that going to hold up over the season? We'll see. But, you know, I do think he's coming back a little bit too soon. But let's talk about some other wide receivers that we have here, some situations. Bernard Berrien, we just discussed. I like him. Ross doesn't. Why don't we go to the Reverend for a third opinion?
Well, look, Bernard Berrien is a guy that could be productive. I mean, we saw him in the playoffs last year in that NFC Championship games. I believe he had like 7 receptions. So Brett Favre is going to find him. I mean, here's a guy that's got some speed. I understand he didn't look too good in the preseason, and that has to concern you a little bit.
But if you pick him up as your third receiver or fourth receiver, a guy that you don't have to start each and every week, I think here's a guy that can have some nice weeks, some nice games with Brett Favre in there. He is an established receiver. I understand that Percy Harvin has the upside, but is Percy Harvin going to play 16 games? That is very doubtful. So I kind of like Bernard Berrien as my number three or number four receiver.
Yeah, and the Vikings parted ways with Javon Walker, short-lived stint in Minnesota. We're going to actually try to get in some of those notable NFL cuts once we run through some of these receivers here. Kenny Britt, we already discussed. 64% of fantasy football owners have him on their roster. They're looking to get burnt. Don't serve me any toast if you got Kenny Britt on your roster. Mohamed Massaquoi, 51%. You know, here's a guy who's probably the number one in Cleveland, and he's available in 50% of leagues, according to Yahoo. So, again, if you need some depth at wide receiver, Mohamed Massaquoi might be floating on the waiver wire. Here's a guy to keep an eye on as the season progresses. You know, Brian Rybicki has been praised for his route running. You know, Cleveland really doesn't have many options there. Carlton Mitchell, who we were high on, I don't know if he made the roster or not. I know his roster spot was in jeopardy due to the case of the dropsies, which has been well documented with his career in South Florida. Roy Williams, you know, we said it, Dez Bryant, that whole experiment's going to take a little while to progress. Roy Williams only owned in 41% of fantasy football leagues. Jabbar Gaffney, I guess, you know, I was all over this one. I know you guys were too. I guess, you know, from Jersey calling in, maybe not on the radar of a lot of fantasy football owners. I will tell you that Jabbar Gaffney is definitely, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you wind up starting him on a weekly basis. He's only owned in 36% of Yahoo leagues, which I think is incredible. So, again, if you're in Yahoo, I would run out to the waiver wire ASAP and snatch up Jabbar Gaffney, number one option in Denver, Kyle Orton's go-to guy. Mike Williams, the rookie in Tampa Bay, 32% owned. Again, I'm going to wait and see here. I'm a little bit hesitant. I know he's been receiving all the hype. I actually think Aurelius Ben has more, you know, physical attributes and could be a better football player in the long run. So I'm going to wait and see how that situation plays out. Nate Burleson, we mentioned before, number two in Detroit, only owned in 23% of leagues. And then you have Devin Thomas, 18% of leagues. You know, who knows how that whole Washington situation is going to play out, but if you want to roll the dice, a boom or bust guy, Patrick Crayton just traded to the Chargers, only 15% owned there, so you can still run out and get you some Patrick Crayton if you're into that. And then Oakland receivers, you know, Reverend, you mentioned you like Jason Campbell this year. Who's he going to be throwing it to? I would guess Lewis Murphy and Darius Haywood Bay would be the guys, only owned in 9% of Yahoo leagues, so you could probably have at it with that. And then my guy, Victor Cruz, you know, a measly 5% ownership in Yahoo leagues. I don't know, man. I like this kid. I know there's Steve Smith. I know there's Hakeem Nicks. I know there's Mario Manningham. I just think they're going to find a way to get this guy on the field. I think he's going to be dangerous in the slot. And if there are some injuries, you know, look out for Victor Cruz, man. I could see him being the next Miles Austin. Maybe I'm a little biased with my Jersey love and all that good stuff. So, you know, keep an eye on Victor Cruz. Ace is up, wants to know if we're going to go around the league. Going to have to tune in for next week on that one. We got our rundown good to go. We're going to go around the league. We're going to preview every game like we do each and every week, stud, duds, and sleeper style with these two guys, Ross Mandel and Ralph Mancini. I am Rick Saratello, so we're going to go around the league each and every week like we always do. But, you know, tune in tonight for that bonanza. Before we get into these guys, you know, Rostradamus here rubbed his crystal ball a little bit during the week and hit us with the little NFL preview, which you can find on the NFLDraftBible.com website. If you go over to NFLDraftBible.com, you can get his whole season preview. Why don't you enlighten us a little bit, Ross, on what people can expect there?
Yeah, I mean, I basically did a little write-up for every team, you know, without any preconceived notion of really who I was going to pick for the playoffs and the Super Bowl. But I ended up with Green Bay against Baltimore in the Super Bowl. I have a little little more faith in Baltimore as far as covering for those cornerbacks that are missing and subpar than most people. And I like the Ravens to win the whole thing and just edge the Packers in the Super Bowl.
All right, so if you want some more of that good stuff, you know, he's got a lot of good information on there. So log on to NFLDraftBible.com for that. And we're going to get into some notable NFL cuts before we do. Coming in from the Joker, good to see the regulars up in here, Aces up, the Joker, G-Money, rolling with us, hardcore. They know what's up. Hey, Rev, St. Louis, Donnie Avery's out. Who's starting over there?
Well, with St. Louis, I mean, it looks like Brandon Gibson's going to be a starter along with Laurent Robinson. Danny Amendola is going to get some time as a slot receiver. You know, I mean, I think the guy with the highest upside in St. Louis is definitely Laurent Robinson. If we remember going back to last year in 2009, Robinson was off to a great start as a guy who's got the speed, he's got the leaping ability, he's got the size at 6'2". But what he doesn't have is the bulk. He's kind of a thin guy, so you always worry about him getting hurt. But I think Laurent Robinson is the guy with the biggest upside there.
Yeah, and I think you're on par with that, Ross, as well. One of your under-the-radar guys, I believe you had. Okay, now, yesterday, cut-down day in the NFL. They went from 75 to 53 on the rosters. A lot of good players out there floating the waiver wire now. We all know about TJ, who's from Invada's out there. Where will he land? That remains to be seen. Matt Leinart also getting cut. You know, another thing, I got a bone to pick with the Denver Broncos because I've been complaining about this for a couple seasons now since it happened. They traded, you know, 2 years ago they traded away their 2010 first-round pick to move up in the second round and draft the cornerback, Alphonso Smith, out of Wake Forest. Now, they gave up a first-round pick for this kid, okay? That first-round pick turned into Earl Thomas for the Seahawks. On top of it, yesterday they traded him for Dan Gronkowski. Now, we know Dan personally. I love you and all, Danny, baby. But come on. I mean, this is just a dumb move. And now here you go. You got to pay the piper. Alphonso Smith, a wasted first-round pick, you know, turns into Dan Gronkowski for the Denver Broncos, which is why, in my opinion, they are the worst-run organization. If you look at their personnel moves since this new regime has taken over, it's just been a complete and utterly mess. One last thing I want to touch base on before we do get into these NFL cuts. You know, Alex Gibbs, surprisingly, just walked out on Pete Carroll yesterday, you know, a week before the season starts. If you're not familiar with Alex Gibbs, he is the offensive line guru who was in Denver for so many years. Then he was in Houston implementing that zone blocking running scheme. Pete Carroll, when he was hired, brought on Alex Gibbs to help get that Seattle running game going. Not sure the specifics. There's some talk maybe he was unhappy with some of the personnel moves and cuts that were made in Seattle, but Alex Gibbs just completely walked out on our good buddy Pete Carroll there in Seattle. Just thought I'd throw that out there. We'll get through as many cuts as we can. You know, we mentioned Matt Leinart. You know, Rev, throw out a couple of possible destinations, some landing spots there for the former Heisman Trophy winner.
Well, I see a team like Cleveland perhaps having some interest in him. I mean, they really don't have anything resembling a decent quarterback out in Cleveland, so there's always a chance that they might give Matt Leinart a shot to redeem his career. The Oakland Raiders, I mean, if you look at their third-string quarterback, they have Kyle Bowler out there, and I don't think Kyle Bowler is any better than Matt Leinart. Then you also have the Houston Texans. They currently just have two quarterbacks on their roster, and Dan Orlovsky is no great shakes as the number two guy. And then maybe even the Indianapolis Colts I could see maybe having a little bit of interest. Knowing Bill Polian, probably not. But, you know, Tom Brandstetter is no longer with the team. They cut him. So right now, after Curtis Painter, you really don't have anybody there. So those are some possible destinations for Matt Leinart.
Ross, where are you looking at Leinart winding up here?
Well, I think an interesting possibility would be Cincinnati. I mean, I know you love the JTO show, but to me, Leinart would be an upgrade. Plus, he'd have his fellow USC guy and an NFL veteran who has his head screwed on straight, one of the few SC guys who does at the quarterback position, apparently. I think that might be a good change for him. I think Palmer could definitely help him. He's certainly not going to Seattle because apparently Charlie Whitehurst is the second coming, so they can't have anyone getting in his way. How about the Texans, you know?
Yeah, I mentioned that, yep.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rev. I think that would be a good place for him to go, but I think Cincinnati is the most intriguing place for him. Obviously, they don't have a problem with having quarterbacks on the roster that don't possess cannon arms. And I really think Palmer might be good for Leinart because Matt Leinart's walking around thinking, I can't believe this happened to me. What do I have to do? He just clearly doesn't get it, and he needs someone to grab him by the shoulders and shake him and say, dude, it's not them. It's you.
Yeah. Well, I think it would be interesting just for its and giggles if he winded up with the Raiders. I don't know why. I just think that would be good storyline. But, hey, how about Troy Smith getting cut yesterday in Baltimore? I'm sure he didn't see that coming. Maybe his attitude there got finally granted him his wish because he's been asking out of Baltimore for a while. So Troy Smith now on the open market. Another guy I felt really bad for was Joakim Bell in Buffalo. I mean, this kid did nothing but produce in the preseason when Marshawn Lynch and Freddie Jackson went down. I'm not so sure he's better than Marshawn Lynch. So Joakim Bell, you know, the kid from Wayne State, I would think that somebody's going to snatch him up in a heartbeat because I love what that kid brings to the table, a hard-nosed runner. We mentioned Hunter Cantwell getting cut, losing out to Tony Pike for third-string duties in Carolina. Let's go over to Chicago where you were at training camp earlier this season, Ralph. Our boy Dan LeFever getting cut, and also third-round pick last year, Jerron Gilbert, the man who jumps out of the pool, also the Bears cut all kinds of draft picks yesterday on cut day. Obviously not the best when it comes to drafting players, but what was your take on LeFever and Gilbert there when you were up in Chicago?
Well, I like what I thought of Dan LeFever. You know, he's a smart kid. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He's an accurate passer. And, I mean, I spoke to him, and the kid's very mature for his age. You know, I think what they're going to do with Dan LeFever is they're going to look for a way to put him on the practice squad. So, I mean, he's got no chance. He had no chance of starting or even contributing this year anyway. So I think that's going to be his ultimate destination. As far as Jerron Gilbert is concerned, here's a guy who has got everything you want physically in terms of size and speed and strength. But I think, to me, he lacks that work ethic that you need, you know, that little something extra that you need to be a quality NFL player. You know, here's a guy that, you know, he came into the league, you heard all the accolades, people just gushing over him, and he probably thought that he had it made. You know, maybe he fell into that, you know, that little, maybe he has that Matt Leinart disease where he thinks that, you know, he already has it all figured out. But that's not the case with Jerron Gilbert. He hasn't done anything. The effort is not there. The work ethic is not there. You know, when you come into the NFL, I don't care how great of a college player you were, you have to improve. You have to get better. And he never got any better, and that's his problem.
All right, moving on with some of these notable player cuts from the NFL yesterday. Our friend Snowflake in Cincinnati, Matt Jones not making the roster in Cincinnati. Chase Kaufman, the tight end, highly touted, cut before even playing a down for the Bengals. My man, Brett Ratliff in Cleveland, also cut by the Browns, I think for sure. Somebody is going to snatch him up. Maybe the Jets are having second thoughts now about keeping Kellen Clemens on the roster because, you know, this kid, Brett Ratliff, I think, has some potential. Also a little bit of a surprising move. I haven't been able to confirm this, but I did see a report that the Browns cut Larry Asante, their fifth-round pick out of Nebraska. He was at one point competing for a starting job. Like I said, I haven't been able to confirm that, but Larry Asante, that would be a wasted draft pick if that's true. Lonnie Miller, an undrafted rookie free agent from Fresno State, he was actually the starting running back for Fresno State last season. He got injured going into week one. Ryan Matthews steps in, and we all know what he did. We mentioned Brandon Stokley getting cut in Denver, and a couple of quarterbacks, Ross, in Green Bay, Houston, and Indianapolis. Graham Harrell, cut by the Packers. John David Booty, cut by the Texans. Tom Brandstetter, cut by the Colts. Do any of these quarterbacks have a future in the NFL?
Aye, aye, aye. Well, it depends if you consider being a third-string quarterback, you know, having a future. I really don't see much of a future for anyone. I know you're sort of high on Brandstatter, but he's had his chances, you know, and if he can't stick, I mean, he actually did look decent this preseason, and he is a big kid, but, man, I just don't think teams have the time to devote to getting him up, you know, and running as far as being NFL prepared. There's just not enough, you know, there's not enough attention that can go around because he's not going to start for anybody. And do you really want to devote that time, energy, and, you know, a little bit of money to a guy who you're really not going to use to start? You're not sure if he's going to be a starter down the road, so why invest anything in him? I think that's what Brandstatter's problem is. Maybe you should go, you know, to the UFL or the new USFL, get on the field and show people he can actually play.
Yeah, I think Graham Harrell would be a good name for the UFL, an attention grabber. Javarius James, edge cousin, was on the Colts preseason roster. He did not make it. The cousin of Edgerrin James from the U, undrafted rookie Javarius James, also cut. Colby Smith had a cup of coffee in Jacksonville. He's gone. Jacksonville also parting ways with Troy Williamson and Ernest Wilford. You know, there's so many mediocre receivers on that team. They had to get rid of a couple. Kansas City parting ways with Tyler Pacheco and DeJuan Morgan. And Miami, a couple of surprising, maybe not, based on their performance. Rev, Pat White, cut. Does he have a future in the league? And also Patrick Turner, the wide receiver from USC, also on the free agent market.
I don't think Pat White has much of a future in the NFL. Maybe you can hook on as a third-string quarterback or a wildcat guy or a special teams guy. But really, I mean, if you're counting on this guy to take snaps from center, he's just not built to be a quarterback. He's way too small. He's way too skinny. And we all saw last year, I think it was in that game versus Pittsburgh, where they just knocked the stuffing out of him. And I didn't think he was going to get up from that. I was scared for his life. I mean, I think that Pat White, to me, he's built more like a wide receiver and not a quarterback. And, of course, he's not a wide receiver, so I don't see him having much of a future. And as far as Patrick Turner goes, you know, he's one of those guys that's body beautiful, you know, 6'5", looks good running down the field, but he's a guy that just doesn't know how to run routes. He's not consistent enough and just doesn't have, in my opinion, the work ethic and the want to make it in the NFL and be a successful receiver.
Yeah, I mean, he was a huge disappointment in college, so why would we expect anything different?
Yeah, well, no doubts about that. And, you know, the Dolphins trading off Camarillo and now cutting Patrick Turner is really going to open up the doors for some of those younger receivers on the roster. The Vikings parting ways with Ian Johnson of Boise State fame, also Javon Walker out the door. New England, Oklahoma State quarterback Zach Robinson did not make the roster. A couple of veterans axed here, Ross. Sam Aiken and Derek Burgess got their walking papers. With Sam Aiken out of the picture, is this going to open up the door for your boy Brandon Tate?
Oh, I think the door is definitely open for Brandon Tate this year. I see him being the number three choice there. You know, all due respect to Julian, everybody loves me, Edelman. I think Tate's just got a world of talent. If he could stay healthy, I think he's definitely going to bust through that door you're talking about. And it's interesting that the Sam Aiken experience really wasn't much of a success last year except for a couple of weeks. You know, he's just not an NFL-caliber receiver, so that's not a surprise. And as far as Burgess goes, you know, you come into camp late, you're 32 years old, and you don't play well, you know, you're not going to stop the run, and he can't get to the quarterback. What do you expect? You're gone. Someone will take a shot at him, but, you know, he's not a New England guy doing all that stuff. You're out of there.
You know, New Orleans, they got rid of Patrick Ramsey. There's some talk there that he's going to sign with slipping my mind. I'll see if I can remember.
Seattle.
Patrick Ramsey, Seattle, correct. Liddell Betts out the door. Harry Coleman, who had a big preseason, gone. And your boys, Ross, the New York Giants, Rhett Bomar, Andre Brown, Gartrell Johnson, Guy Whimper. The big shock here, Jay Alford, cut. I mean, I was surprised to wake up this morning and hear that the Giants have cut Jay Alford, which means I guess they're going to hand the reins over to Linville Joseph, the rookie. Good or bad move here, in your opinion?
I just think that, you know, between Andre Brown and Jay Alford, the Giants just can't afford to be keeping guys who are in the training room every time. And, you know, from watching a little bit, it was pretty clear that Alford is not 100%. He had surgery, you know, I think it was a little less than a year ago. And, you know, Linville Joseph has just flat out played better than him. That's all there is to it. But, you know, Andre Brown, to me, that's a huge disappointment. I really expected good things out of him when they drafted him. I thought it was a great pick. But, you know, torn Achilles, if you're a running back, not a lot of backs have come back from that. And I just think it's a shame. I thought he was going to be a good player.
Yeah, well, and also, you know, Jay Alford was getting blown off the line of scrimmage from what I saw in the preseason. But I do like this NASCAR package. Keep an eye open for that one, man. They are going to let all hell loose. They got a new NASCAR package that the Giants implemented. It's Justin Tuck, O.C. Umanor, Matias Kiwanuka, and their first-round pick, Jason Pierre-Paul, all in the same package lining up on the defensive line. And it's just basically kill the man with the ball. You know, go get the quarterback. I'm excited to see that NASCAR package. Sticking in our own backyard, Rev, the Jets cutting ways with the fullback, Jason Davis, which we saw on the Hard Knocks. That was only inevitable. Rick Foley from the CFL, Larry Taylor, the return man, Brooks Foster, the receiver, Donovan Warren from Michigan, the one-time highly thought-of prospect. Any surprises there?
Well, yeah, number one, Donovan Warren, and here's a guy that the Jets were really, really high on. You know, if you heard, you know, the way they were speaking about him before and after the draft, you would think that Donovan Warren was a guy that they were really counting on or really high on, but unfortunately, Donovan Warren hasn't distinguished himself, hasn't done much on special teams, and if you can't play special teams, then you're not going to make the team. He might make it to the practice squad. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. I'm a little surprised that they already let go of Rick Foley. Here's a guy that they only brought in like about 3 or 4 days ago. So here's a guy that never really had a chance to really strut his stuff with the New York Jets, a CFL guy, a pass rusher. You know, the Jets can use a pass rusher right now with Calvin Pace out for a couple of weeks. So that surprised me a little bit. But the other guys, Davis, Taylor, and Foster, no surprises there. I didn't expect those guys to be with the team right now.
All right, rounding out some of these final cuts from yesterday, NFL cutdown day, Colt Brennan gone in Oakland, Kelly Washington gone in Philly. Who else? Pittsburgh Steelers got rid of Frank the Tank Summers, never worked out. Keith Null cut in St. Louis. You might remember his awful four-game stint as a starter for the Rams. Duke quarterback Thaddeus Lewis actually beat him out for the third-string job in St. Louis. San Diego parted ways with Jonathan Crompton, the quarterback from Tennessee, another quarterback that was highly thought of by some coming out of college, Jarrett Brown, released by the 49ers. Seattle, we mentioned J.P. Losman and T.J. Houshmandzadeh cut there, look for Patrick Ramsey to land there. Tampa Bay, you know, they cut ways with Michael Clayton, but the guy I want to talk about here is Jevon Snead. Talk about when things go wrong, you declare early for the NFL draft. He came out after a horrible junior season. This kid received some very poor advice. He's already been cut twice now by the same team as an undrafted rookie quarterback. Should have stayed in school, kid. And how about Chris Sims in Tennessee getting handed some walking papers? Maybe now he won't be maybe now he'll have time to show up for his next court appearance since, you know, he couldn't find the time to do so last time. Myron Roll, the Rhodes Scholar, also a little bit surprising. I thought getting released by the Titans, I believe they used a draft pick on him. And then we discussed the Redskins' running back situation. They decided to keep Keelan Williams over Willie Parker and Ryan Terrain. Guys, it's been a great show. Next week's going to be even better. We're going to be on the Fantasy Sports Channel. We're going to get the chat room cranking. And before we get going, I do want to let everybody know, for all you draft nicks, for all you NFL draft nicks, we're going to be starting up a brand-new weekly show on the Fantasy Sports Channel beginning this Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. Yours truly will be hosting a NFL draft show each and every week. leading up into the draft. So we're going to be on all season long. My good buddy Daniel Moglione will be joining me as my co-host. We will bring in some NFL draft analysts, and we will break down the NFL draft each and every week leading up to April. So definitely check us out Thursdays from 5 to 6 p.m. And in honor of the last time, you know, I'm going to bring some new music to the table for the show next week. So for one last time, you know how we end the show. The last time
Ladies
you're
going to
hear.
Let's get ready to rumble!
For this.